as you implement your strategy, you also obviously want to now measure the same thing, right? Measure and make sure that the connection is from end to end, not that, oh, the customer maybe landed on some page or logged in or something and we don't know what to do. No, you want to go through that end to end experience so you really show really the true conversion rate here in terms of whatever you're trying to achieve. So again, data first, in my opinion.
Why do some companies succeed in driving growth while others fail? How do some individuals advance in their careers to lead teams that change industries? In the age of mobile, these are the stories of the companies shaping the way we interact with our world and the people who drive their growth.
Hi everyone! So excited to introduce this week's guest, Deepak Nair. Deepak is currently an experienced transformation leader at Citizens Bank. He has over 2 decades of experience in marketing, analytics, machine learning, and AI, and everything in between. He's been nominated for being one of the most influential industry contributors by San Francisco Charter of Digital Analytics Association. So thrilled to hear about your story and your growth, Deepak. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's start with your current role. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you're doing at Citizens Bank.
Sure. Well, so I usually start out with saying that I'm originally from San Francisco Bay Area. So that's kind of where most of my studies were and a lot of influences in terms of who I am today. So there's a lot of that history there, right? And I kind of got into technology and digital and all these spaces during the dot-com boom and bust in a way, right? So I you know, again, that's kind of where I contribute a lot of my experience to, a lot of fortunate relationships that I was able to build, again, in that unique space of San Francisco Bay Area and Silicon Valley, right? So again, I come from that culture, that innovation drive, that kind of stuff, right? So I am currently with Citizens Bank, headquartered in Rhode Island and a big presence in the East Coast. I joined about 2 years ago. And before that, I was actually with US Bank for about 9 years. And it's interesting. So when I was with US Bank, I was in San Francisco. And at that time, the bank's leaders at the CEO level and down felt like they were really behind the other big four banks, right? So they wanted to find the talent pool in San Francisco Bay Area, just because, again, the pool was so great in that area. So they wanted to have a best-in-class digital experience, mobile apps, and all the latest and greatest technology that was coming out of San Francisco Bay Area. So they really invested in the team there and started growing those capabilities from the ground up. And I believe today, US Bank is considered to be one of the top two in terms of these type of digital experiences, right? So, and my role there was, again, to build up these MarTech capabilities, analytics capabilities, one-to-one targeting. So during that journey that I had there to build up these capabilities and teams and environments, obviously, you have a lot of fun too, right? You learn a lot along the way and you meet up with a lot of great small and medium-sized companies as well. And, you know, you get that experience in terms of building, in a way, a startup within a big bank, right? So that's kind of how we were operating at that time. And our VC, in a way, was the bank, right? We wanted to do these things and the bank would provide that funding. And then similar role in terms of when I got to Citizens, they are also going through this transformation. You know, for their customers, they want to make sure that they're the best in terms of that experience. And I'm part of that journey that they're taking to take the company's experiences to the next level, right? So I have a bunch of journeys that I have to focus on and own in terms of that enterprise transformation, getting customers to be more digital, helping customers achieve their goals a lot faster. Obviously, mobile first is always a mantra that everybody's talking about these days, right? So that's kind of what I'm doing and a little bit about my background.
Awesome. You're working on all these digital experiences. How do you think about the ROI and how do you know you're like actually successful? How do you measure success?
Yeah. So, you know, in roles like mine, I was talking to a few folks in the past where you can really be successful if you understand and have some experience on the data side of things, right? So one of my strengths is really, again, going through those experiences from my startup years to where I am today. It's always been data first. And I always tell people, companies like Facebook, Google, they're really a data company, right? So sure, they're offering you so much for free, but really they're collecting a lot of data, which is a valuable thing. So I had that background, right? So whenever, even like when I joined here, my first question was, all right, what are your data environments? How do we bring the data that I want to gather? How do we understand what's going on? And if the data is not there, how do we get it, right? So at the end of the day, whenever you want to run a program these days, especially if you're tied to digital in some manner, you want to really understand what's the current landscape, what's going on with the customer. One simple case is any campaign, right? You want to understand what the effectiveness is by just looking at what's going on from the analytics, right? So either it's the web analytics or the backend analytics, just understand what's going on. And then from there, with what the data is telling you, you look at, all right, now let's think about what we can do, right? Like, let's think about how do we innovate? What are the ideas that we need to think about? And let's whiteboard it, right? So, and then from there, you take the steps in terms of that, you know, original incubation. From incubation, you start saying, okay, I think this is a winner. Let's go that way and start your path. And obviously, as you implement your strategy, you also obviously want to measure the same thing, right? And make sure that the connection is from end to end, right? Not that, oh, the customer maybe landed on some page or logged in or something and we don't know what to do. No, you want to go through that end to end experience so you really show the true conversion rate here in terms of whatever you're trying to achieve, right? So again, data first, in my opinion.
That makes a lot of sense. If you take a step back, what do you think for a bank, for example, is the importance of mobile? You know, we talk a lot about mobile first, but why do you think there's an ROI into that? You know, why is that so important for a bank in general, since you've worked with multiple?
Yeah, it's interesting. So when I first joined one of the big banks, right, the whole landscape was really starting to shift towards mobile. You know, iPhone came out and Samsung in the game, and there's a lot of really cool, innovative things happening. And as banks also started seeing that, hey, now phones are not just a device to talk to somebody, it's now your personal computer in a way, right? So these days you can pretty much do whatever you need, work, you know, whatever you want, as the saying goes, right? You have an app for it. So it's basically your new computer, right? And this is how you access your world today. So I think banks figured that out early and they really focused on innovating in that space. When the fingerprint capability came out, they were on it, right? Now suddenly you can now log in through your fingerprint. You don't need to use the old passwords and whatever. Then the facial recognition came in. Now you can do that. It's even easier. And so as you're seeing the evolution, one, accessing your information becomes a lot more easier and easier. It's becoming more secure, which is extremely important in the banking industry. And, you know, again, it's just convenience, right? And the way the banks are thinking about these days is, you know, let's think about what are all the things you can do with mobile. Let's innovate on that, right? Like, I mean, this whole depositing a check thing, right? So when that came out, now you don't need to go to an ATM or a branch. I mean, that's so many extra step time and effort that the customer has to take. Now you just take a picture, deposit, you're good to go, right? So again, that convenience, the amount of things you can now do today with these smart computers in a way in your pocket. And so the banks are realizing that we need to innovate there and we need to make it easier because there are tech companies that are doing the same thing or trying to take away the customers that the banks have because they're innovating in this space and they're making it so easy for customers and the younger crowd, right? So you got to always be innovating and be one step ahead if possible. And I think a lot of the top banks are doing that.
That's great. That's awesome. What are some things you're excited about building in the next year or two? What are some new initiatives you're working on? What's next?
Yeah. So I think a lot of the financial institutions, they're trying to become more fintech. And there's a lot of areas that we want to focus on, upgrade. So some of my areas that I want to focus on is, again, how do we get customers to be more digital in terms of the type of information that they want to consume. I know, for example, a lot of the banks out there, including us, spend a lot of money on paper. How do we get rid of paper? Because why do we need so much paper? Right. So again, that's one of the areas like I wanted to focus on as well throughout the enterprise. Why do we need to have so much paper? Right. So that's a really important area. Digitize as much as possible. Give the option of digital communication to the customer and allow them to access it at will. Right. And also it's more secure too. Right. I mean, I've heard stories and actually it even happened to me where my neighbor gets my mail sometimes and gives it to me, right? So like, you don't want your statements or whatever financial stuff to be going to your neighbors or somebody else, right? So again, going the digital path brings the customer a lot more security as well as on-demand self-service capability that they can utilize. So that's one of the areas. And again, there's many journeys out there that I'm kind of getting involved in. Obviously the whole deep linking stuff that we want to do is definitely a passion of mine here, because again, I'm more used to that. And I was telling my peers here that, hey, we got to get this done as because again, it's going to have such a huge impact for the customers. So, you know, these type of, again, innovative solutions, how can I influence the company to adopt and really at the end of the day, help the customer?
That's awesome. So you know, you seem very entrepreneurial, which is no surprise because you've built and sold your company. Tell us about that experience and how that influenced your career.
Yeah, well, you know, when I got out of college, it happened to be at a very interesting time where suddenly the dot-com boom was going into a bust, right? And, you know, I wasn't really getting a lot of opportunities that I really wanted. It was a lot of layoffs and people were not hiring or freezing their hiring plans. At that time, I was always thinking about it in terms of like having my own, you know, something, right? So this is when the last year of college, I was thinking like, all right, why don't I be like one of the other big names out there, right? Like Bill Gates started out of college, or there's so many stories out there in terms of having a startup out of your garage or whatnot. And this is the Bay Area too, right? So I kind of started out that way where I was starting to think about, all right, what's going on today? So I was always focused on like, I loved the whole Amazon models and the e-commerce side of things. So originally I started building email applications and e-commerce stores, try to see like, you know, what we can build. So I would figure out a way to raise some money and then hire some folks in India and start. You know, just start like that whole startup mode, right? And when I was young, I mean, I you know, I was staying up till like, you know, 3-4 in the morning working with these guys in the other side of the country, right? And trying to figure out again, hey, what can we build? So that's kind of where my entrepreneurial spirit started. And the interesting thing about that is I'm glad I did that, because you really have to wear so many different hats, right? So at the end of the day, people are pretty surprised, especially my technology partners. They're very surprised how much knowledge I have in a lot of their spaces. Because again, at that time, I was the IT manager because I had to set up a cloud environment, right? So I had to figure out how to set up the first cloud environment for myself. And this is before like AWS. So you learn a lot in terms of servers and DNSs and all this other stuff, you know, get your own domain names and right. So you wear an IT hat. And then also in other areas, like you understand the data side of things, right? You're launching a website or you're launching an application. What type of data are you getting out of it? So you really, at the end of the day, end to end, you really understand how the world works in that area. And it was key, right? It was key because as I got into some of these other positions with some of these big companies, that experience made me aware of, again, how things are done, as well as I could easily jump into something and I can figure things out very fast, just because, I mean, that's just the mentality, right, of the entrepreneur is, yeah, you might not know what the heck you're doing, but you're going to go in and you're going to figure it out and you're going to do something with it, right? So that was kind of the mentality. And honestly, I'm glad I had that opportunity and taught me a lot and it makes me who I am today, right? So
I love it. Any favorite physics or your career, starting from the startup through, you've had some awesome positions, Any initiatives or things that you led that you're proud of that come to mind that you think were successful? And then I'll ask a failure too.
Yeah. One of the biggest challenges that I had at my previous job at the big bank was I was put in charge of building the company's next best action engine, right? And it was a massive undertaking because you're talking about integrating with every single omni-channel that the customer touches. So what that means is you're talking about you have data involved, you have different solutions involved, applications, environments. So this solution was something where, again, sits in the middle, has a brain that tells the ping it gets what to do. This system is getting bombarded with requests from ATM when the customer is in front of the ATM, when the customer is in front of the branch or the call center or on mobile or online banking. Anytime the customer is engaging with some channel with the bank, this system is immediately figuring out, all right, I know who this is. I know what they qualify for. Or maybe it's a service campaign that we need to push to the agent saying, tell the agent that, you know, they had some type of a login issue. Did we resolve that? Right. So again, service, sales, all sorts of different types of messages. And you're talking about thousands of campaigns, right, running in seconds and milliseconds. So that was really one heck of a challenge that I had. And it took me around a good year and a half, 2 years to get everything done. But man, it was challenging. It taught me so much about everything, right? In terms of, again, like I'd never even gotten into the ATM side of things, right? And I figured out, okay, what was the limitations there? Because again, there are limitations, right? In terms of these different areas of touch points. So again, that was wonderful and had a really great time building that out. And I was kind of proud to do that. I think we're only one of the big five banks to actually have something like that out there that was truly omni-channel, right? You might have like these engines focused on maybe just one channel or another, but really an omni-channel environment was an exciting project to work on.
Awesome. That's a cool one. How about one that you thought was going to do really well and it didn't do that well? And what did you learn from it?
Yeah. You know, so I had an opportunity to work with IBM Watson. And what was interesting was, so we ran like a POC for a few months. And I was thinking, this is the early stage of my understanding of how the AI solutions and all work. We thought, okay, within 3 months, we could see something with the IBM Watson, right? So we fed in a lot of data from web analytics and all that. But really, again, when it came back to like, okay, what can this really do? Like, especially in the banking industry, you can't really let AI just be independent, right? So one of the learnings was that we couldn't really push it the way that maybe some other industry might, like let it run. You just can't, because again, one of the things I learned is there's a bunch of regulations, there's a bunch of rules and risks that you have to follow. And also the other big lesson that I've had with that was for these type of solutions to be really effective, you really have to feed it a lot of data and you have to let it run for a long time. And so that's where I kind of came to an understanding of really getting into like, okay, what's the difference between an AI solution? Because again, people would throw like, oh, we do AI. And then you hear about machine learning and people get confused in terms of what these things are. So I really got into these areas and I kind of figured out AI is on another level. We did do machine learning, a lot of things in machine learning, and a lot of softwares, a lot of solutions have machine learning. But when they say we have AI, because of that experience and not getting much done with IBM Watson at that time, with our POC, I start questioning now, like, what do you really mean? Let's talk about that, right? So, but again, fun stuff, didn't go anywhere, the IBM Watson, but I really enjoyed doing something with it. And even the failure on that front taught me quite a bit. So overall, it's not really a failure. It's a really good learning experience.
Wow, that's such a cool, interesting project. I don't think I've talked to anyone who tried playing with IBM Watson or even just AI in general. I don't think we've found anyone on the show. So that's extremely interesting.
Yeah, just been fortunate, right? Some parts of your career is all about, are you at the right place at the right time? And also, do you have the right peers and leaders around you? I got fortunate on that front.
Very, very cool. I also know you give back to the community. You work with Girls Who Code. You sit on the Big Data Program Board in SF. What are some things that want the next generation? Any advice for the next generation entering the tech industry?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if you are into tech, I would suggest learn early, right? Like some of the Girls Who Code program that we sponsored and participated in. Again, these are kids even from elementary. So I think it's important that you introduce these type of different career paths and solutions at a very early age. And then once you really figure out what you're really into, and these days, no matter what field you're going into, I think tech is going to be really a part of everything. And it's the best way to innovate in terms of a lot of different areas and experiences that you want to create. So I would always say that focus on having some base in technology, some really good understanding in how data works, because your whole life today is run by data. So understand that part is super, super critical. Understand what happens, even at the Facebook level, right? If you're using Facebook, what's really happening behind the chats, right? Behind the posts, right? Understand what's going on the data front. And I think that will put you in the strongest position in terms of your career and where you want to take that as you progress.
That's awesome. And so I think speaking about the future, we talked about the next generation, but what do you think, what are some tech trends that you're excited about, you're watching, you think will change the way we interact with the world?
Yeah, you know, I am very impressed by what's happening. I know there's a lot of people have different opinions about what Meta is doing, right, in terms of the virtual world and whatnot. And I've always been a gamer myself from back in the day. I had Nintendo and Sega Genesis and all the video games and applications out there. And where I feel like Meta is taking the virtual reality stuff, I think there's a good upside and possibility in terms of how our future experiences are going to be. Even like, for example, banking, if you want to take banking and finance into play, you see that Meta can replicate your face and facial expression just as you are being seen in a webcam. And now think about that experience. So instead of you having to go to a branch to talk to an agent, you are virtually meeting them, right? Now it's a new channel of engagement. So when I saw what was happening, and I even purchased one of these devices to see like how capable it is, I mean, it's early stages, but already it's pretty impressive. So I think on the new technology side, the virtual world has a lot of potential if you do it the right way. And I think a lot of companies should figure out what they can do in that front. So I'm pretty excited about that one and probably get into more and learn more about it as things progress.
Agreed. I have a Quest and I love it. I do all my workouts in there. Yeah. It's I'm also very bullish on it. I know there's a lot of mixed opinions, but I'm very bullish.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have been impressed. And I usually always, I'm an early adopter pretty much on everything. Even when the iPhone came out, I was one of the first to get it. And I was showing it around like the office and like, people were like, oh my God, like, you know. So I'm always into the early adoption. And again, what I see is pretty impressive. So a lot of potential.
You know, beyond everything you've done a lot of things. We've talked about your career. What's something about you that you think influenced your career and your view of the world that we wouldn't really be able to find on your LinkedIn or Google search?
You know, I would have to say, again, I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of mentors, good leaders, really, because especially when you're young, you know, you have so much energy and you're only thinking just one way and you're not seeing all the other parts of the world and how you need to really engage with people, right? So one of the things, again, I learned and what really influenced me are some of those leaders, because sure, you can be successful, you can have a company and all, but you have to also treat people with respect and a certain way you have to lead if you are to get the maximum out of people, right? So that was one of the things that I kind of learned, because it's all about getting the right mentors to tell you, hey, maybe take a step back, right? Or calm down a little bit, right? So, because at the end of the day, you're only as successful as the team you put together. And also the other big lesson that I learned as well as I practice is, you know, I want to make sure that I surround myself with the best of the talents, right? Never be afraid of talents and really surround yourself with them. Because again, if you have talented people like you and, you know, they're doing their thing, just get out of their way. I don't know if it was Steve Jobs, but one of the quotes that I always remember and sometimes I speak on is a quote that you don't hire talented people so that you can tell them what to do, or hire them so that they can tell you what to do. So you have to kind of step back and really let others also shine and contribute to the ideas and the visions that you have. But you do want to surround yourself with the top talents at the end of the day.
I love it. That's such a good one. And I think it's a lesson that it took me some time in the early days of Branch to learn. So this is such a good one. Cool. Okay, so we're going to end with the lightning round, which is a fun way for the audience to get to know you better. So question number one, if you had to delete all the apps on your phone, you could only keep one, what would you keep?
Are these apps that come with the phone, or?
Let's say apps that don't come with the phone.
I would probably say Signal.
Wow.
Yeah, the reason why is because I know so much about data and what's going on and how companies collect data. My friends are also in the tech industry. And when we heard Facebook bought WhatsApp and they're going to now use your data for marketing or blah, blah, blah. And we're like, okay, we're going to get off. So the Signal is one of those applications that I would say I use to really communicate with my circle. And I utilize a lot. I don't do Facebook. I don't do any type of social media, Twitter or any of that stuff. Because again, I know what's going on. So like, I'll just.
Okay. Good advice.
Yeah. but Signal is, you know, they're good. The privacy is good. They're not going to utilize our data for sales and marketing and whatnot.
That makes sense. I'm a Signal user, but I don't use it that much. But maybe I should rethink that.
Yeah, it's secure, right? So it's good. Yeah.
If you had an app to talk to one animal and one animal, what type of animal, what would you choose?
One animal. I would have to say, so I have two dogs, but one of them is a giant schnauzer. If the audience don't know giant schnauzers, search for it. Beautiful black dog, big black dog with a lot of nice hair you can groom, right? So I would say my giant schnauzer. We call him Hagrid.
Wow, that's a cute.
If you're into, you know, Harry Potter, you'll know the.
Yeah, that's amazing.
When we picked him and we wanted to go that breed direction, Hagrid is also very big and, you know, very hairy and a lot of, you know, so it kind of fit and turned out well. But yeah, Hagrid would be definitely the animal that I would like to speak to.
Okay, and lastly, what's an unlikely app on your phone?
Unlikely app. I would have to say I downloaded this stargazing app.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was just trying to figure out. Recently, I used it to find where Jupiter was. So I used that. It wasn't something that I ever really was into. But so I started getting into just understanding the skies a little bit more. And that was an app that there's a couple of them. But I would say that's one of the interesting ones that I recently started getting into.
Nice. Wow, cool one. Well, awesome. Deepak, this was so cool. I think we learned a lot, some great advice. You've had some really awesome experiences, and we really appreciate you being on the show and sharing it with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And again, it was a pleasure. And like I said, we have a lot of fun things that we're going to be doing in our careers. So it's great to talk to people of like mind, right? So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave a review wherever you listen to this and share with someone trying to grow their career. Until next time, keep growing.